Father, thank you that you're one who does everything out of love. It was out of love you gave yourself in Jesus, and it's in love that you change us to be more like him. And Father, we hear, having dashed in and with so little time, and yet we long to receive more of your love. You would break through the busyness and the responsibilities, the distractions, and that in the short time we're together, each of us would know more of your love. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, how marvelous to see you. Welcome, St. Mary's. It's great to see you. Thank you so much for coming. And thank you, Chris and the band, for leading us in worship. It's lovely to have had that. And we'll be back to you soon, which is wonderful. May I read you a few verses from the second letter of Timothy? I'm conscious of the most obvious Church of England characteristic of this congregation, this building here on Thursdays, is that the building is cold. But it does mean, of course, if we were living in the 14th century and believed that, you know, in purgatory, we get at least 20,000 years of purgatory for coming to worship here in this COVID. One day it will be tropical, and we pray that that day will come soon. But thank you so much for coming and for looking so positive as I look out at you. Anyway, you know, it's just very encouraging. Makes me think you like me. May I read you these verses from the Apostle Paul, which is so much more interesting than any wittering I can do. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and beginning at verse 3. Paul writes, "I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." On Saturday, I had one of those domestic disasters, which I think probably happen in any household. I just nipped out of the kitchen to take a telephone call, and by the time I returned, there was water all over the floor in front of the washing machine. That's not how it normally functions, so I knew that something was wrong. I tried to mend it in a totally ignorant sort of way, and then I saw in German on the panel in front of the washing machine that it was broken and there were problems with the water supply. My German is not very good, but it was very clear that that was what it was saying. It's not the best time of year, of course, to go in for capital expenditure only a few weeks after Christmas. But in one of those spirit-inspired moments, I realized that the John Lewis sale was still going so quickly onto the Central Line and to Oxford Street and into John Lewis. It was very interesting then. There were specialist washing machine sellers. It's amazing. And one of them was allotted to, or I was allotted to one of them. I knew where the power lay. And they said to me, "Now, what key features are you looking for in your new washing machine?" Well, I was slightly simple. I just said, "Well, actually, I'd rather like it to wash my clothes." Ah, they said, that's simply one of the features that we offer in today's washing machine world. I said, well, funnily enough, that's the one feature I'm particularly keen on happening. Anyway, that was swept aside as the rather irrelevant gibberings of a halfwit, and I was taken straight to the Bosch section of the washing machine world, where for £1,500 I could find a washing machine that would do everything but basically hoover the house. I thought, well, that sounds very exciting, but £1,500 doesn't sound. I said, what else do we have? I mean, do you have anything about a third of that price? Well, they obviously realised that I was a bit of a cheapskate, and eventually I found a hot point basic washing machine for £246.30. I said, that's what I need. She said, it doesn't do very much. I said, it does what I want, and I know what I need. Of course, by the time I put delivery, taking away the old one, kept fixing it up in that kind of way, it was well over £300, but it was cheaper than the £1,500 we started with. I thought, I'm brilliant, I could go into bartering in some foreign place and get a real bargain. But I knew what I wanted, and the Apostle Paul would have understood my focused attitude last Saturday in John Lewis, even though he would have been quite surprised by John Lewis. We can see that in these verses that he wrote to Timothy, where he starts, of course, in verses 3 and 5, by thanking God for him. Paul was praying for him regularly, longing to see him again. He admired Timothy's sincere faith. When he thought of Timothy's faith, he knew it was the genuine article. And he emphasized this by writing that it lived in him, just as it had done in his mother and his grandmother. It wasn't a temporary visitor, this faith. It was a resident in Timothy. It was there in good times and in bad. It wasn't going to disappear when things weren't easy, when there was pain or disappointment or failure or anxiety or distress. However vulnerable Timothy felt at times, and there were times when he felt very vulnerable, however anxious he felt about letting people down, his faith was there, sustaining him, part of who he was. It lived in him as a permanent resident. And because of that, Paul felt able to be clear about what mattered, encouraging Timothy to fan into flame the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. Don't miss out, Timothy. Don't miss out on what God has for you. That's what he was saying. Paul knew the pressure that Timothy would have been facing. He knew how easily he, like all of us, can get distracted from engaging with the Lord Jesus Christ when we're really feeling that the pressure's on, when we're anxious about something. How easily we miss out receiving what God has for us when we wouldn't have missed it in easier times. And Paul's message to Timothy is, don't miss out. Don't miss out at all on what the Lord Jesus has for you. Fan into flame the gift of God that's in you. Paul wanted him to have a renewed, encouraging, upbuilding experience of the Holy Spirit. Focus on this, Paul says. Seek that, not focus on the pressures of the moment. So I thought about that. I thought, it's easy to say. It's not always easy to do. Sometimes the things that crowd in on us actually do stop us seeking what God has for us. But Paul was unequivocal. Here was a man within a week of his death. Don't miss out on what God has for you. He's asked the Holy Spirit to help you become more effective as a believer. You need to overcome your natural timidity, Paul writes. Replace it with the Spirit's gift of power, love, and self-control. Paul knew that instinctively Timothy, like many of us, was timid when it came to his faith. You always hesitate to put his head above the parapet. We all know that feeling. We love the Lord Jesus. Sometimes it's difficult to be publicly passionate about that. Therefore, he needed the power that would give him the resources to make an impact for Jesus Christ. The word translated power here is the one we get the word dynamite from. You are going to make an impact. You're going to be a dynamite person, says Paul. Seek to that love which gives you the strength of character to put others first and not always be focused on our own agenda. When I think of what you work with every day, the expectations, the deadlines, the pressure, the demands, very easy to be focused on all of that. Very easy to almost sideline others. And Paul is saying, pray for that love which can put others first. Not in a sentimental way, but just so that you're not always focused on what seems to crowd in. And finally, that gift of self-discipline is a word which is complex, apparently, in the original, so clever people tell me. But actually, the best translation of it is, God wants to give you that wise head that knows what to do in different situations. That wise head that instinctively enables you to be effective, both with friends and family, but also at work. That's what God wants to give us. And today, Jesus wants to encourage you and me, just as Paul did Timothy. He recognizes the quality of your faith, but wants more for you and me. He looks at you and says, you've got the real thing when it comes to your faith. Jesus, who knows us better than anyone else, would say to each of you, you've got the real thing, but don't miss out on everything else that I have for you. Seek more of the Spirit and his resources to encourage us and equip us as believers here in the city. People who can make an impact, people who can be distinctive, people whom others begin to recognize more and more as being those with a wise head. That'll make us more and more effective as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Do you and I, before we go back to work, want more of all that Jesus has for us? That, I think, is what he's saying to you and me today. Do you want more?